We're in a message series called I Quit. And we're talking about the things that we need to quit in our lives so that we can grow in our faith and become more and more like Jesus. So we're not talking about a quitting that's bad. We're talking about not a weakness or giving up out of despair. We're talking about giving up things so that we can strengthen our relationship with God. Now, if you've been around for a little while, you know that back in May, I was on my sabbatical. And during my sabbatical, I went out to Michigan to a place that was kind of semi-secluded. Didn't have any internet or any cable TV or anything like that, but it really wasn't roughing it. But one of the things that I noticed while I was there was the things that are a regular part of my life, things that are part of my routine, kind of boiled up to the surface. That's a nice way of saying some of the personal cravings and some of the dependencies that I have just kind of boiled up to the surface. And as the week went along, I kind of realized that I've made made sure that I had certain things there. So the night when I got there, I went to the grocery store and I got coffee. Those of you who know me know I love coffee. I can't wake up in the morning without having my coffee. So the first thing that I did is I went to the grocery store and got coffee. The other thing that I got when I was there, Tostitos. Because you have to have Tostitos and salsa. I am totally hooked on Tostitos. You have no idea. Talk to my wife. I think I go through probably 2 or 3 of the party-sized bags a week. All right? This is a serious addiction. Right? It's a serious addiction. I have to have my Tostitos. So when I went away and there were no Tostitos in the cabinet, I went to the store to make sure that I had them. Now, there was no cable TV there, but I still had my phone. And I thought it was incredible. Since I couldn't get the news and the things that I wanted to on TV, I found them on my phone. Because I had 4G, I could still connect into the internet. I could still find things out. So I could still check on my baseball scores for my lovely White Sox. Don't ask me. I have no idea why I wanted to check them, because they really stink this year, but had to do it. The other thing I noticed was ESPN. Okay, in May, I was away, and it was right during hockey playoff time, and I'm a huge Chicago Blackhawks fan, and so since I couldn't watch them on TV, I had to make, like, an exception and find a restaurant to go out to eat so that I could watch the hockey game, okay? Now, here's another biggie, and I need you to pray for me and help me in this. In less than 50 days, I will have one of the biggest challenges that I face in my life. Fantasy football. I am totally addicted. It's a passion that I have. It consumes me if I'm not careful. I'm so competitive. I spend a lot of time on it. I enjoy it. It's a lot of fun. You know, the fellowship that we have in our league here at the church is a blast, but I can overdo it at times. I need to set better boundaries in that area in my life. I could go on and on. There's other things that we have cravings and dependencies on in our life. And you guys know that I love to share a lot of things about my life, but there's some things that I can't share from here. And you know that you have those in your life as well. What are the cravings that you have? What are the things that you don't really want to call them addictions yet, but what are you dependent on? What are some habits that consume you? See, those are important questions to ask. Because cravings and dependencies, passions, challenges, guilty pleasures, habits, or even hobbies can easily turn into addictions. Whether you're addicted to what seems harmless, like M&Ms or Tostitos, or whether you're addicted to something more dangerous, like alcohol or drugs or pornography or something that we've got a secret part of our life that we really don't want to share with anyone else. It can be destructive. It can be destructive to our physical health, our emotional health, and even our spiritual life and faith. Any kind of addiction can be destructive when it distracts from our relationship with Jesus Christ. Because that's the goal of our faith, right? all of us should have the same goal, to become more and more like Christ, to transform our life into what looks more like Jesus, to have a relationship with Him, to have a likeness of Christ. We all want to do that, but implementing it in our life is a different task. It's very difficult. If we really want to be more like Christ, then we have to seriously look at the things that we're dependent on in our life. We need to identify the addictions that we have in life and come to a point where we have to say, look, it's time for me to quit. It's time for me to quit living in addiction to this thing or that thing instead of being addicted to what God wants us to be addicted to, Him, Jesus. Paul puts it this way in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 12. Everything is permissible for me. And Paul's talking about different things like food, and he's talking about sex and different things like that. But he says, but not everything is beneficial. Everything is permissible for me, but I will not be mastered by anything. I will not be mastered by anything. Now, that word mastered is actually translated to mean rule or to have dominion over. It literally means to be lord of. So what Paul is saying, he's saying, I don't want anything to be lord of my life other than Jesus. To be mastered by something else means that it's your lord. It rules over you. It has dominion over you. Your addictions turn you into a slave. Nobody wants to be a slave, right? 2 Peter 2:19, Peter says this, you are a slave to whatever controls you. What is controlling your life? What is it that you are passionate about, or what is it that you are dependent on? Jesus himself said it this way in Luke 16, verse 13. No servant can serve two masters. There's that word again. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. In other words, Jesus himself is saying, hey, look, you can't serve two masters. You can't have two lords in your life. If you have this other thing that you're serving, if you're a slave to this other thing, if that is your master, then Jesus cannot be your master. What has control of your life? What has mastered you? Because if Jesus is not your Lord of everything, you can become a slave to anything. That's the essential battle of the Christian faith, isn't it? Learning to make Jesus your Lord and your master over every part of your life. Addictions or bad habits can be destructive because they take control of your life. They become your priority instead of Jesus. Now, what happens when you become a slave to an addiction? What are your addictions? What are you mastered by? What are the things that you can't do without? What are the things that consume your thoughts and your actions? Some of you here today might be saying, well, I'm not really mastered by anything. My habit is definitely not my Lord. On your outline this morning, I've got some questions that you can ask yourself to examine yourself. Six questions. And if you can answer yes to three or more of these, it's likely that you are maybe mastered by something. Do your friends and your family say that you have a problem? Do you continue with your habit even though you're hurting other people? Do you arrange your schedule around it? Can you go a week without it? Does your habit cause you to isolate yourself from other people? And are you trying to keep it a secret? Ask yourself those questions. If you come up with and say yes to three of those questions, you may have something in your life that is becoming your master. It has control over you. Maybe you already know what that is. Maybe you already know what you're addicted to. You've been trying to break that habit, but you've been unsuccessful. And maybe you're addicted to something and you're treating like it's okay. And you're not really addicted to it because you kind of like it. And you don't really feel like dealing with it. Whatever the case, if it's controlling you, it has you mastered. You are a slave to whatever controls you. It's keeping you from being transformed in Christ and growing in your faith. There is only one thing worthy of giving your control of your life to, and that's Jesus. We need to constantly examine our lives to determine what the things are that are beginning to take control of our lives. If Jesus is not your Lord of anything or everything, you can become a slave to anything. So, let's take a look at this. The first step in finding help in your addictions is to know and understand the story behind the story. And that is this. Addictions are a spiritual battle. Addictions are a spiritual battle. Satan uses your freedom and your sinful nature against you. In 1 Peter 5, verse 8, Peter says, "Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour." From the very beginning of creation, Satan has been all about sabotaging your relationship with God. Satan is your spiritual enemy, and his mission is to steal, kill, and destroy you. God loves you. You are his child. He wants everything good for you and your life. He has given you Jesus as someone who can save you and rescue you from sin. God, more than anything else, wants you to make Jesus the Lord of your life. But Satan wants to ultimately be the substitute for Jesus in your life. He wants to distract you, so to speak. And he'll use good things that can become more passionate, good things that can begin to take control over your life. Because he knows that once you give control of your life to that thing, you're less likely to give control of your life to Jesus. Satan has a sneaky plan of destruction. His whole goal is for you to change your identity so that you will no longer think and know that you are a child of God who has been created and redeemed by him. He wants you to change your identity to that thing, whether it's smoking or drinking or food or shopping or money or stuff. He wants you to identify your life around those things. When you try to quit and you fail, he wants you to feel incredibly hopeless. He wants you to feel like a failure so you'll give up on seeking God for help. He wants he wants you to feel threatened, to feel defensive when people come to you and say, "Hey, you may have a problem." He wants you to think that your loved ones who care for you are actually your enemies. He wants you to lose friends, money, health, family. He wants you to struggle with your self-esteem. He wants you to become dependent on anything but Jesus. He wants you to think that happiness and joy comes from anything but Jesus. He wants you to be a slave. We need to quit living in addictions because nothing but Jesus should be our Lord and Master. Look, God created everything good. Everything in all of creation is good, but like Paul says, everything is permissible, but not everything is beneficial. We shouldn't be mastered by anything. And God gave us guidelines. Matter of fact, the first 10 commandments are important for us to know about. He says, "Don't have any other gods besides me, and don't make for yourself any idols." You see, if we're not careful, the things in our life that we become addicted to can become gods. They can become idols. So when something becomes more important than Jesus in our life, all of a sudden we're breaking the first two commandments, making other gods, making idols. We shouldn't allow other things to control us. When we do, we become slaves to those things. So if Jesus is not your Lord of everything, you can become a slave to anything. So what do we do? How can we quit living in addiction? Well, Hebrews 12, 1 and 2 says, "To throw off anything that hinders us or slows down our spiritual growth, and the sin that so easily entangles or traps us, and let's run the race with perseverance. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith." And Paul says to Timothy in 1 Timothy 4, 7, to train yourself to be godly. So here's a few spiritual training tips that you can utilize to help identify some of the things in your life that may be addictions and how to get rid of them. The first one, examine your life for potential addictions. Examine your life for potential addictions. Here, the first thing you need to do is you need to examine yourself. Now, examining yourself means to investigate your life, to look at what you're involved in, what you're doing, where you spend your time, and where you spend your money. Because a good place to look at what is important to us is our calendar and our bank account. Where we spend our time and where we spend our money shows what's important to us and what's passionate about us. So when we look at those things, we can examine them and go, is this taking control of my life? Is this something that I'm investing too much into? Is this taking away from my relationship with Jesus? Another way you can examine your life is to let other people examine you. Talk to your spouse. Talk to a good friend. Talk to a coworker. Talk to someone who knows you the best and ask them the question, what do you see in my life that maybe have control over me? What am I investing my life in that you think may be detracting me from my relationship with God? And see what they say. And then, of course, let the Holy Spirit examine you. Examine yourself by looking at God's Word. God's Word tells us what He wants us to look like. We know that we're called to be holy because God is holy. That we should be more like Jesus. That we're called to be a model of what Christ is. And yet, a lot of times we fall short. The Bible shares how we do that. So pray. Ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to you those things that are becoming too important, more important than your relationship with Jesus. The second spiritual training tip is to admit your lack of self-control in that area. Once you've identified the things in your life that may have control over you, the best thing that you can do is admit it. Just admit it, that it has control over your life. It's healthy to admit that these things have control over you. It's probably the biggest step that you can take in the right direction. Admit it not only to yourself, but build some accountability in it by admitting it to another person, sharing it with someone else, asking them, do you see this in my life? Is this something that I'm overindulging in? Right? Admit it. The third spiritual training tip, ask God to help you perform spiritual surgery. When you pray about it, trust God to help you with it. Now listen, just because you pray about it doesn't mean that God's going to totally take it away. Remember the story that Paul shared in the New Testament where he said, I asked God three times to take this burden from me, to take this thorn from out of my flesh. And God said, no, my grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in your weakness. So there are times when we pray through things that God's not going to totally take it away. And what God is trying to do here is He's trying to help you become more dependent on Him than that thing. So when we pray and ask God to do spiritual surgery in our life, it's not always an immediate thing that He just takes away. God promises to be there for us, to help walk us through some of these things. But think about it this way. James 4, 7 to 10 says, submit yourself to God then, and resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. See, victory is about being dependent on God, humbling ourselves, submitting ourselves to God. Now, if you look at it from a surgery perspective, surgery is never fun, is it? Surgery is never fun. We don't like to do surgery, but in essence, what we're doing in surgery is we're submitting ourselves to the doctor. It's a humbling thing sometimes, but we bring ourselves to the doctor and we put trust in them to do surgery on our life because we know that even though short term it's going to hurt, it's going to be painful, there's going to be some recovery that's needed, in the long run, it's the best thing for our physical health. Spiritually speaking, it's the same thing. We need to really look at what our addictions are. And it can be painful. It can be painful to hear someone that you love say, hey, I think you really have a problem with this. And if we really want to be healed, if we want to be made whole again, we need to humble ourselves. submit ourselves to God and say, okay, God, there's this thing I think is getting in the way. I need you to cut it out. I need you to repair me. It's not easy. But if we want to get healthy, we have to submit ourselves to the great physician. The fourth spiritual training tip, commit to filling the void with godly community. Commit to filling the void with godly community. Fill the void by making community and with God and other people a priority in our lives. Ephesians 5:18 says, don't get drunk, instead be filled with the Spirit. Now that's talking about alcohol, but it's not just about alcohol. Because if you think about it, what our addictions really force us to do is we're looking for a high. We're looking to get joy and happiness and peace and wholeness from whatever it is that we're pouring into our lives. And if it you know wears off, then we go back to it. Paul is saying here is, hey, instead of getting high on other things, get high on Jesus. Get connected with Jesus. Be filled with the Spirit. Instead of going constantly back to these things that are only temporary, fill your life with the Spirit that can help you be healthy and whole again. Fill the void with the Spirit of God. Fill the void by being in community with other people. Paul said to the Corinthian church, bad company corrupts good character. In other words, the people that you hang around with have a big influence in your life. If you really want to change directions, if you want to change some of the addictions that you have and get rid of those and get healthy, get back on track spiritually, start connecting with people who have a passion for Jesus, who want to grow and change and transform their lives as well. Start hanging around with them. Now, it's not saying that we ignore people who don't know about Jesus. It just says that for our lives, if we want to grow in Christ, we need to have healthy community with people who know and follow Jesus. So train yourself to be godly. Train yourself to follow after Jesus. Discipline yourself in order to make Jesus your Lord of everything. Because if Jesus is not your Lord of everything, then you can become a slave to anything. It's time for us to quit living in addiction, to quit being a slave to anything and start pursuing Jesus in every area of our lives. So on the outline this morning, I've got some action steps. And they're very similar to the training tips that I gave. But if you want to get through some of the addictions that we have, here's the action step. Ask someone who knows you well what you may be overindulging in. So we talked about that in the spiritual training tip. But here's one that you can do that really tests you. Fast. Fast from something for 1 or 2 days or even a week to reflect on the power that it has over you and your ability to exercise self-control. So if you want to know if something has control over your life, give it up for a few days or a week. And if it really, really hurts and you feel like you're continually being drawn to that thing, then you may be overindulging. You may be addicted to that thing. It may be have power over you. It may have control over you. You may be a slave to that thing. So you need to adjust. And then, of course, schedule more time to be filled with the Spirit this week. And that means spending time to read your Bible and to pray. Addictions. All of us have them. At what level? Various levels. Some are really seemingly insignificant. Some are incredibly difficult and destructive. But in all cases, we're human and we're sinful. And we have a natural tendency to be drawn towards things to fill our lives. And if we're not careful, they can become God. They can become idols in our lives. Jesus needs to be Lord over every part of our lives. And if we don't continually pursue Him, then the things of this world can enslave us. It's time for us to get addicted to Jesus. Let's pray together. Lord, it's so easy to say. We really want You in our lives. We want to love You with everything that we are. We see what You've done for us, and we're incredibly grateful, and yet the things of this world just continue to pull us away, to make us wander away from You. God, forgive us. Help us to identify the things in our life that we may be addicted to, things that may have control over our lives. Help us, Lord, to get rid of the old habits and put on the new habits, to fill the void in our hearts with a relationship with You. Thank You, Jesus, for making that possible, for revealing Yourself to us, for offering Your life on the cross to pay for our sins, for giving us Your righteousness so that we could have life, eternal life. Renew us, refresh us, and draw us closer to You, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.